around the globe, it's time for your RM World Travel Connection with Robert and Mary Carey and Rudy Maxa on the SSI Radio Network.
Let's buckle up as the show begins. Rome, well, I take you around this great big world.
Connect with the show anytime at rmworldtravel.com or on social media at RM World Travel. And now, welcome to America's number one travel radio show.
All right, here we go with hour two. Welcome back to America's number one travel radio show, everyone. It is now just past 11 a.m. Eastern Time. It is Saturday, March 2nd. Electric vehicles will spark our conversation now as we get back to talking everything and anything in the world of travel. Rudy will rejoin the show at the bottom of the hour as he's getting ready for a guest that's coming up. But right now, as this program is transmitted across the USA to our 575 weekly stations via satellite, in the divided states of America that we live in these days, EVs are certainly something that have, you know, unfortunately, they've been politicized. They probably shouldn't be. But we'd like to hear your thoughts on what you like or don't like about EVs. Just send us your comments using the Contact Us tab at rmworldtravel.com.
That's right. We love hearing from you. And Robert, remember last hour when I referenced I had Texas Independence Day on my mind? So during the break, I realized we were talking about Texas. It all came together. I'm going to introduce him. But our next guest was the person who informed our production team that, in fact, he was accepting our invite on Texas Independence Day. It is today. So let me introduce him. Joining us to have a candid conversation about EVs is the Honorable Jason Isaac. He's the founder and CEO of the American Energy Institute. Jason was elected four times as a state representative for Hayes and Blanco counties in the Texas Hill Country. And to maximize our time with him, off to connect with him on that show hotline we go.
Yes, we will. Jason, appreciate your time this morning. Hopefully you're having a good Independence Day down there in Texas. Thanks for jumping aboard America's number one travel radio show with us.
Yeah, happy Texas Independence Day. It's great to be on. Thanks for having me.
Well, we really appreciate you joining us today. So I'm going to start off this way. You know, our position regarding EVs is pretty straightforward. We believe people should be able to choose what they drive, not be told what they will be driving. We don't like the agendas being pushed to force EVs on all of us. We absolutely feel there's a place for EVs in the marketplace. We're far more bullish on hybrids than EVs. Frankly, if you work locally, maybe you drive 10 to 30 miles a day, maybe an EV is something to consider. If you own a florist, dry cleaner, do local deliveries, maybe an EV is something to consider. Certainly, we could see uses for FedEx or UPS or Amazon or the post office or whatever. But the hard facts are the country is not ready for EVs. There are so many big issues with the adoption to EVs. You're not evil for driving your gas-powered pickup, SUV, or car. And in many ways, it's just a sector that big government is trying to prop up and hope they throw enough money at it, it'll find some level of success. So share your thoughts with us, Jason.
You're spot on and you're right. And the thing is, and hybrid really is probably the best way to go at this point in time. But even hybrid electric vehicle buyers are subsidizing the cost of electric vehicles. And this is one of the things that's infuriating people is they want an affordable, reliable, safe vehicle to get them to point A to point B. But the fact that their costs are increasing on internal combustion engine vehicles, on hybrid vehicles, because of the mandates and requirements from the federal government, the corporate average fuel economy published research just late last year that shows that nearly $50,000 of every electric vehicle is being subsidized by buyers of internal combustion engines, by people that are paying their electric bills, and by these tax credits. The tax credits are just the smallest portion that $50,000. So we're increasing people's cost for electricity, infrastructure, the grid around the country. And then we're significantly increasing the cost of internal combustion engines, putting them out of reach for millions of Americans.
Interesting. Okay, let's talk about the infrastructure issue with this. When Robert and I were down in Atlanta for a big Let's Go America tour with this show, we went behind the scenes at Hartsfield-Jackson with some of their personnel and executives. And they shared that there just are not enough physical power lines coming into the airport at this time to offer power charging options for all the rental car fleets, let alone for everyone who parks their vehicles at the airport when they travel, or just even for employees who have EVs who work at the airport and need to charge them. And I think trying to find a charging station around the United States, one that's actually working or one that isn't being used, that's a whole nother problem added to this. So if the country's largest airport at this point cannot physically handle the power needs of EVs that are within the fleets of the rental cars, understanding, of course, Hertz is actually getting rid of, what, 20,000 of their...
Yeah, but
doesn't that say a lot about the viability of where we are right now as it stands?
Yeah, it really does. And the demand isn't there. And you're right, Hertz is getting rid of 20,000, a third of the electric vehicles in their fleet, because the demand isn't there. The range anxiety is there. And charging is an issue. When you connect one of these, like a Tesla, to a rapid charger, one of their fast chargers, it may charge in 20 to 40 minutes, not completely, but it's going to get a good charge. That's pulling the amount of electricity off of the grid that a small grocery store uses. If you connect four of them up to a rapid charger, you're pulling the amount of electricity that's powering a Walmart supercenter. You think about all the things that are inside that Walmart: freezers, you know, the refrigerators, the lighting is the smallest part of the HVAC system. I mean, the computers that are in there, that is a ton of electricity, and our grid is just not ready for it, and nor will it ever be for everyone to go electric. The small percentage that we are right now is creating issues. And then the weight of the vehicle. You think about these parking garages. There are cities around the country right now that are adopting ordinances that they're not going to allow charging stations or charging infrastructure in parking garages because they haven't been designed and built to handle that extra weight of those vehicles. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that a little further, because, you know, in recent weeks we've seen reports from many EV manufacturers. Sales are down. They've regressed so much that matching, you know, past year results in 2024 or even 2025 that was ahead. It isn't happening. I'm thinking about Rivian and Lucid in particular, but GM, Ford, Volkswagen, and others are facing similar realities. Some analysts say that those who wanted electric vehicles, they've already bought them, so there now isn't this big pool of buyers left to transition. Volvo just said that they're ending their investment in EVs to focus more on gas-powered vehicles. And, you know, where I'm going with this, we could very well be in the final months of the Biden administration, but I want to know, when does Washington get the message that maybe only 15% of our vehicle fleet is going to be EV, and this grand vision of total, you know, adoption, it's not going to happen?
No, and I think it's going to take an administrative change in D.C. because it has almost become part of the religion that this is something that we have to do, and it's just really accepted by a lot of the people that are in charge of the administration now, even if they understand the realities of it, it's not happening. You know, when you've got your Secretary of Transportation that shows up in an SUV and hops out and gets on an e-bike, you know, to ride half a mile, it's virtue signaling. And I think Americans are waking up, because people that want to buy new cars, they want to buy safer cars with better technology, they just can't afford them. You're having to, you know, do financing out for 7 years now on a car. That's just absolutely absurd. So I think with the research coming out, with people recognizing that all of the subsidies and how much people are paying, and quite honestly, I think the current administration is not too happy with Elon Musk. And so we might see some regulatory changes there.
Well, because Jason, I'm sorry to interrupt. We're coming up on a hard break. We're going to ask you to stay with us if you can, because we want to hold you over and continue this conversation on the other side, because I will pick up that, let you finish with that thought before we get into our next thing. So can you stay with us for one more segment?
Sure can.
Okay, we really appreciate that, and thank you, because there's so much that we want to get to. Folks, listen, you know, you can hear the music. That tells us we need to go to a commercial break to pay the bills around here. So in 3 minutes after this quick sponsors break, we're going to share an experience that Mary and I had with an EV and continue this conversation with Jason about their viability. The G Block is straight ahead. It's all going to begin in 180 seconds.
As we take a brief sponsors break, now's a good time to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, X, or LinkedIn at RM World Travel. We're coming right back. RMWorldTravel.com is your place for show archives, travel news, sponsor links, and so much more. You can also connect with Robert and Mary and the RM World Travel Show team. Now, back to America's number one travel radio show.
Back indeed, as we continue with the Honorable Jason Isaac. Everyone, thanks for sticking with us through that quick break. This segment of the show is sponsored by SimplySafe.com/Carrie.
And when you love someone, you protect them in the best ways you can. This is comprehensive protection with advanced motion entry and hazard sensors, plus HD cameras that not only detect break-ins, but fires, floods, and other threats to your place when you're home or when you're traveling, to get you the help that you need.
Yeah, it certainly is, folks. It's all backed by 24/7 professional monitoring. It costs less than $1 a day. So go get 20% off your new system today, plus a 60-day risk-free trial at SimplySafe.com. rmworldtravel.com/carry or find a link at rmworldtravel.com. Look under sponsors.
All right, Jason, thanks for staying with us through that quick break. Let's get back to it. We want to share a personal story that we just had recently. Over the President's Day holiday, Robert and I went to Florida, and when we returned to JFK here in New York, we rented a vehicle from Avis to drive home, and we have President status with Avis, so as we were on the plane in Miami, Robert got a text message alerting us of the vehicle and the space that was assigned to us at JFK, and it was a Chevy Bolt, so an EV, and I suggested alerting them to assign us another vehicle, but knowing we had this segment scheduled with you and based on past experiences with EVs and hybrids with Sixt, we decided to keep it.
Yeah, we did. Well, so it's all Jason's fault, but listen, yeah. where we want to go with this, Jason, is this. So here's the interesting thing, right? As we left JFK, I asked the gate agent, you know I have to return a gas-powered car full when I rent from them, but what's the expectation for an EV? The agent said to me, you need to return it with at least 70% charge, otherwise you'll get hit with a recharge fee of $40. When I questioned how I was supposed to do that, she said, Google electric charging stations in your area. I had a little fun with her. I said, all right, let's assume I have none. They're not working or in use. Then what? And she just looked at me rather plainly and said, you'll pay the fee. So in the town that we live in, just outside of New York City, you know, we have four chargers. The next day, Mary and I had to use our gasoline SUV to drive the Avis EV rental to a charger. Two of them were in use. One was broken. We left the vehicle at the only open charger, and 3 hours later returned, again using our gasoline SUV that we had, you know, to charge because upon returning to New York, it was so cold, around 25 degrees, the drive home, which isn't far, sapped almost 26% of the battery power, pushed us under the 70% total. Jason, my point with this, from what you were saying last segment, this is not a winning formula for success.
It is funny hearing this story back.
Oh, gosh. It really is. They're fun to drive. I've had an opportunity to drive one around Circuit of the Americas in Austin, and it was a blast. But I was going in a big circle, so I wasn't worried about range or charging. But it is a big issue, and this is one of the reasons why, you know, a new survey is showing that we're at the lowest level of interest in electric vehicles, and it is declining because people are hearing more of these stories. L.A. Times did a story that over half of the charging locations around Los Angeles were inoperable, and that's difficult. And, you know, we've got this incredible fuel that we use now, gasoline and diesel. Wouldn't it just be great if, you know, the government would get out of the way and let these car companies really work on efficiencies and improving the output of an internal combustion engine, pairing them with hybrids? But unfortunately, they just really mandated this, have been distorted the market with these corporate average fuel economy standards and the illegal multiplier that companies like Tesla are taking advantage of, to the tune of nearly $2 billion in revenue in 2021 because they're selling the credits to other automobile manufacturers. So it's really unfortunate this is happening, but it is driving up the cost, and I'm sorry that you had such a terrible experience with one. I would certainly say, nope, I'm not going to do it. I've got to hurt too many stories.
Well, Jason, it was all because of you.
Yeah,
we did
we won't be doing it again. Well, Jason, I'm sure this is not going to be the last time we're going to have you on the show covering EVs. There'll be a lot to talk about in the future, but I want to switch gears a little bit because I happened to see some of the back and forth you had with our producers this week as the interview was being scheduled. A couple of things jumped out. I think our show fans tuned in are going to enjoy hearing this next question. I am really curious. Tell us how you go from your parking spot at an airport for a commercial flight to the jetway to board in 19 minutes.
So, I'm notorious, and my wife sometimes hates traveling with me. I wait till the last minute, but I will tell you, I do have TSA PreCheck. I do have clear, and I can park at the airport in Austin and walk briskly. I'm not running. I don't want to be breaking a sweat and sweating on the airplane. But if the travel times are low, and I do try to book sometimes when I know the airport's not going to be packed, I can breeze right through security and walk right up to the gate when they're boarding. And one of my A-list preferred was Southwest Airlines, so I get A16, A17 almost every time I fly. And I walk right on. It drives my wife crazy.
Well, that's how
so
I was doing it.
When I'm traveling with her, I do a lot of lunch time so we can get some water and use the restroom. But I've got some great stories of hitting the plane 14 minutes pre-9/11 and 19 minutes post-9/11.
Well, so Jason, you and I would travel well together because I'm the type of person, I hate to sit around, it's a waste of my time. I very much prefer to be able to time my arrival at the airport so I can get through security and then walk right down the jetway to get on the plane because everything
no,
else.
No, thank you.
Mary,
I am the opposite.
So, and since we travel a lot together.
Together, we go with what I like.
I do not win this.
I need at least an hour. Yeah. So you have clear.
Stories, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You have clear and TSA pre-check. So you just pick which line is less? Is that what you do?
Where it's available.
And yeah. Sometimes I do. Sometimes at Austin, it clear backs up. But I will tell you, the new security scanners that they've had are slowing things down significantly. So
yes.
DCA, the airport mm-hmm. in Washington, D.C., doesn't have those new ones yet, which is great mm-hmm. Because you can even go faster through security. I don't know what it is about those new. They look like jet engines. They just really are slowing down the security process.
Yeah. All right. So next question. I think that there's a lot of, you mentioned virtue signaling before, and a lot of, there's a lot of flight shaming going on, particularly in Europe. I have friends who live in Europe, and that there's just a lot of carbon footprint conversation. And I think we all want to be good stewards of the world, the environment. We all want to have it, you know, hopefully leave it in a better place for our legacy, for future generations, certainly our kids, our grandkids. But you say it's okay to live a high carbon lifestyle. I'd love to know what you mean by that.
I do. I embrace the high carbon lifestyle. I wish everybody could get to live the high carbon lifestyle that we do here in the United States. When you're producing energy, namely fossil fuels, oil, gas, coal, and nuclear electricity, that's great because you're going to have economic prosperity. When you're producing those things, when you're utilizing them, the people are more wealthy. But when you look at CO2 in our atmosphere, and I don't want to get too deep into a climate conversation,
right.
we're world leaders in clean air in the United States. We've reduced pollution. The things in certain concentrations actually impact human health. We've reduced that nearly 80% over the last 5 decades. We're number one when it comes to access to clean and safe drinking water. And today, there are 40,000 kids between the ages of 4 and 13 that are working in Chinese-owned and controlled mines in the Congo, mining cobalt to make electric vehicles because people are fascinated with decarbonization. They want to get us at net zero. CO2 doesn't cause warming. Warming actually causes increased CO2 emissions naturally occurring. It's 0.04% of our atmosphere. And as man is adding more, and we are just a very small fraction of what's getting added to the atmosphere, as we're adding more, our planet's actually greening. We're growing more food. We're producing more food for more humans. And I think that's great. I say go forth, multiply, mm-hmm. embrace the high carbon lifestyle.
Well,
but yes, pollution is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. This week I saw, you know, the GBTA, the Global Business Travel Association. I love the headline they put out there, the future of business travel is rail. And no, it's not. All right. I'm sorry. Just no, it's not. Okay. So anyway, you know, we've got about 2 minutes left with you right now before we have to move on. But I am curious. You mentioned Elon Musk a little bit, but clearly you're there in the Austin area. He's had a big footprint on that area. But were you surprised this week to see that Apple, it's abandoning their investment in their 10-year dream, if you will, of producing an electric vehicle?
No, it's a really smart decision on the account of Apple doing that. They have been working on this. You know, when they were working on a TV, they were actually working on developing a television, and they abandoned that too. And it turned out to be a good decision. They've got a small box that connects to other TVs, but they're realizing that the support and the interest in electric vehicles is waning. And I am a huge Apple fanboy, if you will. I love technology. And it's really just becoming a toy. They're people, and it's a toy for the wealthy that love the virtue signal. Oh, they're helping the environment.
Well, and I would agree.
On Apple's part, not really surprised that they're
we're right there with Apple as well. Mm-hmm. Well, Jason, listen, it was very nice to connect with you today. We really appreciate that. I want to give your website, folks, they can go connect with you themselves. It's just AmericanEnergyInstitute.com, AmericanEnergyInstitute.com. We really appreciate you spending a little bit of your Saturday morning with us, and we hope you have a very nice weekend down there in Texas.
Yeah, thanks, Jason.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. Love the show. Keep up the great work.
All right.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, take care now.
Okay, next time we go to JFK, we're going to time how long it takes us at New York Airport to get from the parking lot to
Mary,
the
listen,
gate.
You know I love doing that, right? I mean, it's just that, you know, you have some of the things that you like to get done before we get there. And,
yes, I like my coffee. Absolutely. Yeah, I need an hour.
All right. Well, there we go. Listen, you know, very interesting conversation with Jason, and I'm sure we will have him back. Folks, share your thoughts with us, rmworldtravel.com/contact. Right now, We are headed to a quick sponsors break. We're going to talk flight tracking next as Rudy returns. If you want to hear any of our conversation with Jason again, the full broadcast is typically posted by about 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays on our website. Stay with us, everyone.
Today's edition of RM World Travel will be right back, and you can always stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.